Welcome to Pints and Politics. I'm your host, Dan Parsons. Pints and Politics is an event-driven project, and we talk to the newsmakers and the policymakers, not only here in Lincoln, but throughout Nebraska. And we do that by, well, I think the only way we should talk about politics is with a great Nebraska craft beer. So welcome to episode number 44. And let me introduce our guest, Jane Raybould from the Lincoln City Council. Jane, welcome.
Well, thank you. It is such an honor to be back here doing Pints and Politics. I seem to recall that we probably did this back in 2017.
You're absolutely right. Jane was my very first guest on episode one. So we've done 43 episodes, and it took me that long to invite you back on.
That's okay. I wasn't keeping score, but I can tell you it's a real honor to be here back with you and to really celebrate another great beverage from one of our local breweries.
And it is. And in that episode number 40, number one episode back in January of 2017, we had Matt Stinchfield with Plowshare Brewing. God bless Matt. Nobody knows where he's at these days, but hopefully this isn't a harbinger of things to come, because unfortunately Plowshare Brewing is no longer with us. Matt is out doing wonderful things, probably judging world beer competitions.
Probably, but you know, he broke the ice on really getting other brewmeisters out there and really setting the stage to make Lincoln a great place to come and sample all the amazing beers that have sprung up since he started.
It's true. And I loved Plowshare beer. And so we're sad that Matt's not with us, but we're so thrilled that you're with us, Jane. And let me just give a little bit of an introduction of Jane. Fourth generation Nebraskan, and you help run the family grocery business that your parents started 54 years ago. And it's B&R Stores, Inc., and you have 20 locations of Super Saver and Russ's Markets across the entire state, and you employ about 2,000 Nebraskans, is that right?
That's right, and you know, we have other stores in Iowa as well. We keep marching on and growing our company, so we have Cash Savers in Iowa, we have Super Savers as well in a Russ's Market. So we're going places, and I'm a grocer, and I love being a grocer.
Well, that small business acumen certainly has served you well, I suspect, in your political career. And let me just briefly remind our viewers and listeners of your political career. You currently are on the Lincoln City Council. You were elected first in 2015 and reelected to a four-year term in 2019, right?
Yep.
And prior to that, so that's District 3 in Southwest Lincoln. In 2018, you were the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate here in Nebraska. So, holy smokes, that was an experience.
That was really an honor to be able to travel all across the state and, of course, go to a lot of amazing breweries as well, along with my staff. But yeah, it was a tremendous honor. I think, not that I'm addicted to campaigning, but I certainly love reaching out to different Nebraskans and listening to what are their big issues, what are their concerns, how can I make a difference for them. And it's a lot of fun. We have so many amazing people all across our state, and it's a wonderful way to get to know them and to hear their stories.
And I also know, Jane, because one of your hobbies when you're not politicking or running your grocery stores, you're an avid bicyclist.
Yes, and so are you. And that's, you know, that's very important, because of course we go to different breweries around Nebraska. But you know, it really just amazes me, because every little community that we go to is so proud of whatever economic development they have going on. But they're also very proud of the pies that they make and serve, and certainly cinnamon rolls. So I feel like I'm quite an expert on cinnamon rolls as well. And I've been very privileged to be a judge at the Lancaster County Fair when it comes to cinnamon rolls. So
very
that's
nice.
Probably a little known secret about myself, but
very nice.
I feel like I am certainly qualified based on the number of cinnamon rolls I've consumed over my cycling days. So,
well, a tremendous background and experience. And you just recently announced you're running for the Nebraska legislature. Congratulations.
Thank you.
District 28, which for those who may not know, that's currently occupied by Patty Panzing Brooks.
That's
Patty
right.
Patty is term limited, can only serve 2 terms, 8 years in Nebraska legislature.
Right.
So Patty is trying to move on and actually running for another position here in the state.
You need to have Patty on for Pints for Patty or Patty and Pints, you know, something like that.
I'll take that because, well, this is an election year. Let's face it, 2022,
yep.
We're into an election year. And so you've announced for that. So my goodness, if you weren't busy enough running grocery stores, serving on the Lincoln City Council, and now running for the Nebraska legislature.
People think I'm crazy, but you know what? It's a district that I've represented for almost 12 years already. So if people can imagine this, a Lancaster County Commissioner has a big, huge quadrant, the southwest quadrant of our county. And then as a city council member, my district is a little bit smaller. And the legislative district that Patty has served so well, big shoes to fill, Legislative District 28 is just like a little teeny slice of my current city council district that I represent. So I feel like I've walked these precincts and I've rung a lot of doorbells and I've listened to a lot of my constituents. And I think, and I never get tired of doing that. I never, ever get tired of doing it. It is so much fun. I walked three precincts before it got cold in the fall. And, you know, a number of people were out raking leaves. And you just, you know, what are your issues? What are your concerns? How do you feel about what's going on in our city, our county, our state? And it just opens up a floodgate and people talk and they share.
Well, you're very approachable.
You're
very approachable. So before we get any further along in our conversation, we need to pause for a moment and enjoy a Nebraska craft beer. So I have chosen for us today from our friends, Sam and Michelle Riggins, who own a Cosmic Eye Brewery here in Lincoln.
That I have frequented.
Yes. In fact, I think last time we saw each other,
we were at an event
at Cosmic Eye. We may see a photo of that on the notes. So this is Everything Has Eyes.
Okay.
And it's a post-haze IPA. I really like this beer. I had to admit when Jane sat down, I told her when I put together my notes, I sampled one of these. So I'm one in, Jane, but let me tell you a little bit about.
Well, I need to catch up then. Oh my gosh.
Everything Has Eyes. So Sam Riggins is the proprietor, along with his wife, Michelle, wonderful family. And I knew Sam. Sam was the lead brewer for Nebraska Brewing Company years ago. And Sam was testing out recipes and doing home brewery like a lot of these people do. And so I would see Sam at, you know, little events, and he'd have his little display up with his brew. It's like, Sam, when are you going to start your own brewery? Well, he did several years ago, and this is the result. So Everything Has Eyes. It's a New England-style post-haze IPA with stone fruits and citrus flavors.
I can smell them.
With a pulpy residue. So
cheers. This is outstanding.
Right?
It's really good.
This could be
this could be my go-to.
Yeah.
After a city council meeting.
City council meetings, shoveling some snow.
Any occasion, really, any occasion to celebrate.
But this is a top-rated IPA. They won a Wine Enthusiast in the summer of 2020 award. So thanks to Sam and Michelle Riggins and Cosmic Eye Brewery.
Everything
Go visit them. They do events. They obviously, with COVID, things have slowed down for them again. But when things are safe, go out and see Cosmic Eye.
I think last time we were there, things were safer at that time.
They were.
So people could get out and about. And it was pretty crowded, which was good to see.
Yeah.
But I think people do have to keep safe.
Yes, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Well, Jane.
This is delicious. You can go there and buy it and take it home and drink.
You absolutely can. And please do. I was having that conversation with Sam. And if you really want to help out the local brewers, go to their place and buy takeout. Because if you buy it from Hy-Vee or even your stores, I don't know if you carry them, but they obviously take a little cut, as you should. And so if you really want to help out the brewers, go to their propriety, go to their location and stock up on beer.
And they have, I seem to recall, they have refrigerated cases right up in the front of the area so that you can pick it out and just go pay at the bar. And
they probably bring it out to your car.
So that would be a great convenience.
That would be very convenient. All right, well.
Okay.
Let's talk shop.
All right.
First of all, maybe just talk a little bit about your experience. I think it's fascinating. County Board, Lancaster County Board, you served, was it one term or two terms?
Just one term.
Just one term. And then City Council for two terms now. You're in your second term. What's the dynamics between those jobs? And that's one question. The second part of that question is, will that be helpful to you in serving in the legislature?
Well, I think it would be helpful to anyone. And, you know, I encourage people to run for office because it is an eye-opener. I'm a businesswoman. I remember when I got elected to the county board, I thought I can go in and revise things and save taxpayer money and come up with great business strategies to implement. And I was sort of like a bull in a china store thinking I'm going to do great things. And I get there and I realize the most profound thing I learned and have a tremendous appreciation for are the staff and the people, the
everybody behind the scenes that's working hard, just as hard as you are maybe to.
And it is a great eye opener. They're professional staff and people that have been serving in these roles and positions. They know it inside and out. I come in, I don't know anything. I'm a business person, and I think that would be wonderful for every single constituent. If they could go and spend time in the planning department or go spend time with the clerk and just learn how professional they are and how well things are run. You know, Lincoln, the city of Lincoln, has been recognized by being one of the best managed cities in the entire United States. And so I come into the county board with this attitude, and I remember they would show us contracts that we'd have to review and approve, and I like, where's the beef? Where are the terms? You know, I want to see the terms. And so that was one of the first areas.
Because that's what you do every day.
I do as a business person. Yeah. Yeah. And so I went to the purchasing department that reviews all these contracts. And I said, I need to know how the processes that you use and how to review this. They showed me state-of-the-art computers that get bids in, that automatically get assessed and evaluated. Hmm. And then you look at the nuts and the guts of it, and you know, it's all so well established. And I was like, I don't even need to give this a second thought. I see how clearly they review and evaluate. So by the time it gets to me, it's just really an administrative approval or disapproval. So that's one thing I learned.
And I appreciate that, Jane. I appreciate that about you because you do care and pay attention to details. I mean, I think a lot of people who run for public office, it's the sexy, I get to make a speech and cast a vote. But a true public servant, to be effective, if you know those details and you have a desire to dive into those details and policy issues, because you're a bit of a policy wonk.
I think I am a policy wonk, and I'm proud to be a policy wonk because I think in order to make good decisions, you have to really understand both sides of the issue. You have to understand and reach out to the stakeholders. I think that is one thing I've learned, certainly is on the county board and on the city council. You have to reach out to your constituents or the stakeholders, the builders and the developers. You have to reach out to certainly the department directors and have, like, tell me a little bit more about how this piece of ordinance came to be. And I think that is really essential for any politician, that they must be able to do that. They shouldn't come in with the attitude like, I know it all. I'm smarter than you, and I'm smarter than them. I think that is something that you just park it at the door. Don't bring that attitude in. You're here to learn, but you're also here to make a difference by bringing the skill set that you have that can really make a difference and help people. People who may not have a business background, people who may not have an understanding of how taxes work. And you kind of simplify it and maybe articulate it in a way that people, like myself included, can understand better and easier to make good decisions.
So I think that's fascinating. And moving from county government to city government, and then if you're elected into state government, you're not dealing with zoning issues anymore. You're not dealing, but you're still dealing with. So talk a little bit about, well, we'll get to some of the things that you, your platform and what do you want to accomplish as a state senator, but just talk a little bit about the differences between county, city, and state government. I mean, you talk about a wealth of knowledge. My goodness, you
well,
go from
you.
County to city to now state. You will be in your element because
yeah, it's
there's
a triple
a lot
crown. That, the right. triple crown of politics. You know, you started the city, the county, and the state. But what is important is that you have an understanding of governance and how all the city and the county really work hand in glove with the state. So the county is a totally different critter. They're really guided and directed by Nebraska state statutes.
Right.
So that gives them the power to do and to legislate as they do and gives them oversight of a lot of things. As you get onto the city has a tremendous autonomy. So we're not necessarily beholden to the state because right. we're a city of a certain class. And so our charter is our
size,
constitution.
Meaning a certain class, a certain size.
Of our population.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and so you have a different set of rules that guide you in your policy making. But the bottom line is that for each one of these, you do have to review and you have to fall back. As a county commissioner, you fall back on what are the statutes, what are your statutory obligations that have been enacted and put in law. And the same for the city council. What does the charter allow you to do? What does it prohibit you from doing? What are the parameters that you have? What is in the city authority and not in the county's authority? What is in the city authority and not in the state authority? And, you know, certainly one of the best examples that we've been dealing with is our public health
sure.
director.
That's right.
As you well know, you know, we're fortunate our city charter and our establishment of our public health department and public health director gave our public health director certain rights and parameters to operate and dictate and design policies that keep the public safe.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
We have been one of the most healthiest counties and cities in the country.
In the country, and that's something that we really can credit to the leadership
yes.
of Pat Lopez
yes.
and Mayor Gaylord Baird.
Yes.
And I'd like to take a little bit of credit
absolutely.
For the city council
you,
being
you,
very supportive
that's right.
of this in spite of all the backlash that we get from our constituents. And, you know, sometimes I feel that we've failed, that we haven't explained it better or clearer or often enough about what our role is in this policy making. And it really is the public health director to make that determination. And we see that battle play out with the city and the
oh
state,
goodness.
Certainly in Omaha.
Oh my goodness.
And so those
just,
are good examples.
Well, so just real quick, because you brought that up,
yeah.
to clarify for our listeners and viewers why Lincoln has carved out, why we are different than Omaha or
well,
other
Well, we're different because our public health department and the authority invested in the public health director superseded
the state of
was
Nebraska.
Grandfathered in yeah. prior to what the state of Nebraska was able to issue and direct to other established health departments or areas.
Right.
So it's like we came up with these great ideas, but you know, it goes back to local authority.
It does.
Local authority, it's you know, the people who are on the ground closest to our
yep.
constituents, who are closest to understanding what impacts them, what matters to them, and I'm all about local authority, keeping it to the local level, because they're the boots on the beat, they're the yeah. eyes and ears listening to what's going on around them, and they're in the best position to make the best decisions that impact their constituents and the people they serve. And of course, public safety is like number one.
It should be.
So
I find fascinating, and if anyone follows me on Twitter, you might get this vibe once in a while. Ask Dan the PR man on Twitter, by the way. The hypocrisy of some politicians who used to beat the drum for local control, but when it comes to an issue they don't agree with, then it's like we want to supersede that local control. Anyway.
Yeah, and that happens. I think that happens to any politician. You know, they'll fall back on something that they feel more comfortable talking about, and rather than looking in everything in its totality. And you have to. And like I say this all the time, you don't make a budget in a vacuum. You look at what the county is doing, what the city is doing, what it, the state is doing. It all impacts our taxpayers. And so you have to be very mindful of that. On the state level, you know, they talk about the three-legged stool, about what are the revenues that contribute to that. And, you know, we talk a lot about property taxes and how onerous and burdensome they are to our constituents. I get that. Believe me, as a business owner and an operator of many commercial properties,
you
we pay
a little
lot.
Bit of property
and so
tax, yeah.
I'm very mindful of that. And so we have to be very careful. The state doesn't have any authority when it comes to our property taxes. That's set at the local level.
And that is a misconception that most people don't understand.
And then another misconception is, you know, when so on the city council and the county board, you know, the city council is about 13%, like 13 cents out of every dollar. The county board is 12 cents out of every dollar. But our wonderful public education is really about 63, 64 cents out of every dollar. And I'm certainly very proud of our public education.
Absolutely.
I think that we are incredibly proud, and rightly so, of the well-educated workforce that comes out of our state. Because why? Because all those people that are educated in our state that want to see go to New York or the West Coast, they're snatched up because they're so qualified and they're so well educated. And that we should be very proud of.
Absolutely. So talk a little bit, Jane, about some of the things you want to accomplish should you be elected to the Nebraska legislature. I mean, those hot button issues, as you mentioned, property taxes, of course, education dollars. Tell us.
Well, education dollars, it all starts with education dollars. You know, the state of Nebraska is really winning at the race to the bottom, meaning the race to the bottom of the percentage of the state dollars that are spent towards public education. That's nothing to be proud of. And it has been declining,
So more of that burden's been placed on the local taxpayer.
The local taxpayer, but also that county jurisdiction, because they're the ones that really, working with their city and municipality, have to make that determination on how much of those taxes get spent for public education. The public education has a lid, but you know, they want to make sure their kids are well educated, and we're proud of that, but you know, the state can't really, you know, they try their very hardest to control that. The best way you can get property tax relief to our citizens is really to reinstate state aid to cities and counties, and also be very supportive of providing additional funding for public education. How can that be done? Senator Lynn Walz, who is from Fremont, she has introduced a wonderful piece of legislation that is trying to right-size that, you know, shift it away. Property tax relief, real property tax relief, starts with finding ways to fund public education and not always relying on our local property taxes to do so. So there's a big surplus, as we may have all heard, in the Nebraska legislature.
There's some billions with a B coming
out of there. Yeah. And so this is a wonderful opportunity. And her bill is asking for a big chunk of those funds to go out to those counties and school districts throughout the state of Nebraska. In exchange, they're going to have to lower their mill levy, their property tax rate, in doing so. And then in lowering the property tax rate, that impacts all of us as well. So that's really in living up to that commitment going forward. That's a future expense that has to be maintained. I'm pretty big. When I came on as the county commissioners, that was when Governor Heineman did away with state aid to cities and counties. And I remember very clearly.
That's right.
Back then, the city of Lincoln would get about $1.6 million. The county would get about $1.2 million. Now, we would take that and reinvest it in our county and other projects that were impactful to the city and the county. But absent that, that's like a big suck from our budget. Where do we get that additional funding to supplant that? And it's really hard. The only way you can do it is either cut. But that's not what our constituents want. We're really proud in Lincoln, Nebraska. We deliver on great services and a great community on public safety, on our roads. Believe me, I know we can be better at our roads. We're always trying to catch up with the huge demand there. but public safety and the amenities. We're proud of our parks. We're proud of our libraries, as we rightly should be, of the wonderful amenities we have right in our city. But they do come at us as a cost. And so we have to figure out, how do we create that balance for our constituents? So I go back to that. The state did away with state aid to cities and counties. They started to pull back on contributions for public education. And so it sort of snowballs, because then that burden and the pressure is on property taxes. That's our vehicle of taxing authority.
Well, so. It's clear to me, Jane. Thank you for that. But it is clear to me, but because of your experience on the county level and the city level, you really are very well versed to take that the experience into the state legislature. My producer tells me that we're running out of time. See,
what?
I told you.
What?
I told you this would
I
go like
my
this.
Beer.
I know it. Well, we can move into the second episode or something.
Okay, second episode.
No. No, we can do this. Two questions. One, as we wind up, so think about this when we wind up. How can people get a hold of you? And we'll do all that in the notes and stuff too. So think about that. But second of all, or maybe first, I really want to talk a little bit about your experience when it comes to attracting talent. To me, the biggest issue is not taxes. I understand all that.
Yes.
How are we going to find the workers to work for your stores and for my public relations consulting business and the brewers that brew our great craft beer?
And to attract police and public safety, firefighters to want to come.
How are we going to do that on the state level?
It's a huge thing that we need to be actively engaged in. Bottom line, we need to be a more welcoming state.
Yeah.
We need to be a more tolerant state.
Yeah.
We need to be a more accepting state.
Yeah, and what are the policies that
so
you're...
I think, you know, what kind of got confused with Blueprint for Nebraska, they said all those same things,
yep.
But, you know, business people heard one thing like, oh, lower our corporate income tax, lower our personal property taxes, lower our personal income tax.
That's those not, workers don't give a rip about those
They don't
those
care.
Things.
They want to be in a community that is progressive,
yep.
That is futuristic, yep. That really invests in the amenities,
yep.
That can retain people and attract people.
That's right. If we're stealing people from Chicago and from Kansas City and from Denver, we have to have those
things.
We have
to up our game.
We have
to up our
game.
I say be a very welcoming state. That means be a more inclusive state. And I'm really proud on our city council that I think
You've
we really embody
yeah.
what our city constituents look like, yeah. And who they are. And that's one thing I'm really proud of.
Well, first, thank you for your service.
I'm honored.
I wish you well in your next, primary in May, general
in November. And I'm once the weather improves, I'm going to be out walking
we'll
and listening, not walking and talking, listening. And I think that's the key to being successful on any campaign. And I do intend to win. But if you need to go know more about me, because I think everybody pretty much knows a lot about me, you can go to www.janerabold.com.
Very good. And we'll put that in the notes. Well, Jane, I can't thank you enough for
thank you
from 1 to 44. episodes, and I think we even have a little snapshot that we may see up on the of you and Matt. So let me close by just thanking our production, editing, and distribution services by BCOM Solutions, Kim Remington, our operations manager at Parsons Public Relations, Pints and Politics theme music that you may be hearing by Jack Rodenberg. How about that?
Oh.
A well-known family here in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thanks to Fuse Co-working, our home of Pints and Politics and Parsons Public Relations, and my friend and our guest,
cheers.
Jane Rabold.
Thank you
cheers,
so much for having me. It's
You're
been
welcome.
An honor. That was really an honor to be able to travel all across the state and, of course, go to a lot of amazing breweries as well, along with my staff. But yeah, it was a tremendous honor. I think, not that I'm addicted to campaigning, but I certainly love reaching out to different Nebraskans and listening. Just listening to what are their big issues, what are their concerns, how can I make a difference for them, and it's a lot of fun. We have so many amazing people all across our state, and it's a wonderful way to get to know them and to hear their stories.